The idea of Shmita is very obscure because there is nothing that we have in the Chumash per se Psukim for Shchita. The Gemara winds up, everything is Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai. Everything that we do, the Hilcha Shchita, Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai. What happens now is we have to go from the Gemara, from the ideas, to a practical. At some time we have to actually get into a shechita. Whether it's ifis chickens, whether it's ifis turkeys, whether it's sheep, camels, goats, whatever we have to shech, we have to get into it, we have to get into a practical. What do we look for? What are we interested in when we make a knife for shechita? Is it any different than a butcher knife? Is it supposed to be different than a butcher knife? Where do we go with this whole idea? So, at the end of the day, a shechita knife is cutting meat, raw flesh, live hide, chicken skin, turkey skin, a beef skin. It's cutting meat. It's not made to cut bones. It's not made to break wood. It's not a hatchet. It's made to slice. It's not made to hack. It's made to slice. Okay. Take a butcher knife. Do we want anything different, anything more? Over the years, the shechita industry had to change because we went industrial. There is no more local fellow who makes knives except for very few people. What are we going to use for a shechita knife? What are we going to use? What's the most similar area where we could connect to a different industry that can supply us with a shechita knife? Can we tap into somebody else, or do we have to go explore our own area? So, at some time, there was a fellow, about 100 years ago, who made these chalofim for himself, I assume. This is what he made. And when you look at what he made them from, the classic straight razor was the most perfect chicken chalif you can imagine. It's very stiff, it has a very thick spine to it, it won't bend, very, very thin toward the edge, very sharply hollow ground. This was always commonly available. This is what everybody was using before Nerelka. He took that, straightened it out, put a new handle on, and he has himself shechita knives. Okay, that worked in those days when he shechted maybe 20 chickens a day, 30 chickens a day. We got into big time factories. We shechted thousands of chickens a day. We shechted turkeys, ducks. These are kind of small. These are not rust-proof, they're not stainless. We had to advance in the knife part, in the physical part of the shechita. Okay, where do we go? What do we do? So there were people who started making chalofim. In Europe, there were people making chalofim. There were various European cities that made chalofim. England, but they were small. Each one was handmade. They weren't like we need today. Over the years, there's a knife company called Case. Case at one time went ahead and made a run of chalofim. There's a folding knife company called Spyderco, owned by a Jewish fella. He made a run of chalofim for us one time. Various places did But on a constant basis, there were very few people who made chalofim. Came along a fellow, Mr. Miller. He died in about 65. And this was a knife that I had to buy it. I bought it just for the lark. This was being used when I bought it. It was not put away as a grandfather's memory. So narrow, so skinny. This was sharpened and re-ground, and this was being still used on a shechita floor when I bought it. That's how scarce and wanting they were of these kind of knives. We have no outlet. We have no place to get them. Very difficult. It's a very difficult process. Over the years, I've started making chalofim. I've bought chalofim. I've had chalofim made for me.
Why is the process difficult? That scares that people, made it for a little bit and stopped. What's difficult about it?
Today, we call it a custom knife manufacturing. The years ago, every knife was custom made. And years ago, in Sheffield, it was a very big cottage industry. A guy would work on his knife 2, 3, 5 weeks, and on the Saturday or Friday, he would bring it to the central location and present it and see if they would be bought by the wholesaler. But he made individual ones. So some guys would be making kitchen knives, some guys would be making military bayonets, some guys would be making different types of knives, and some people would make chalofim, but they were all individual. Today, that individual making of knives is called custom knife making. You go to custom knife making, you start off buying a piece of steel, you send a piece of steel out for heat treat, and you're lost in a batch of other people's knives, other people's materials that get heat treated. You can't pick and choose so easily what you're going to get out. They'll be overheat treated, underheat treated. What do we want in the heat treat? What do we want to get out of it? I have here one knife that I had ordered from somebody that is a very special knife. Can I trouble you to bang on my piece of wood? Did you ever see a chalif? Did you ever see a sharp knife? Yes, did you ever see it? See if it's a smooth edge or if it's nixing it. No. Put your finger in. Whack it. Whack it. No, hit it hard. Hard. Harder. Harder. See if something happened to the edge. See if the edge is still smooth. That's a special knife. The Gemara talks about Sheba by Atzamas. You took a knife that you broke bones with it. Sheba by Atzamas. This is a knife that could be Sheba by Atzamas. You hit into a mafrekes, nothing's going to happen to the knife. It's a specialty knife I had the guy made for me.
What's it made of?
Strong steel.
Where do you get that?
That's what I tell you. It's a custom-made item. The whole industry that we're into is custom-made knives. There is nobody.
These old ones, you do the same thing. You would bend the metal. It would ruin the.
This is a very thin edge. It's a totally different. It's a totally different presentation. You see how thin the edge is? It's a razor blade. We're going to get into that. What is our classic knife shape? I don't know how far back in history this shape, square end here, a wide rectangular piece of steel. Was it always that shape?
More for hunting, right? Not for cutting, stabbing, more hunting.
Not for stabbing, but for slicing. For slicing. Again, we work on a slice motion. We don't work on a...
There's no halachic way of what shape the knife has to be, besides the sharp.
That does exist. I brought 10 copies of a piece. There's a sefer called Sichas Chulin from a rabbi in Eretz Yisrael.
He's here last week.
He spoke?
Yeah.
Oh.
He did Malika.
A very fine, very qualified fellow. So I took a page out of one of his pages, and I also brought a tshuva from a Rav. I don't know if any of you ever heard of him. It was an old neighbor called Brownsville. There was a Rav there by the name of Moshe Rosen. He wrote this svarim called Nezer HaKodesh. And he also has tshuvas. And this tshuva, I brought 10 copies, you can distribute them around. The tshuva that he wrote here was, he had somebody come to him who wanted Kabbalah on Shechita. And his knife was this way with this four-cornered, this sharp-cornered edge. And when he did the Shechita for the Rav, he completely drew the knife through the bird all the way out. And the Rav had an exception to it, because this would be considered a pegima. This corner would be considered a pegima. And he wanted them, we used to call it in the industry, an ingedesherun. They would round out the front corner over here. So it's impossible to get a sharp corner. They rounded the front tip. More so, the Rav says in this tshuva, if when he's drawing it out, he lifts up the hand area and this part is down, this comes like a point, like a nail point that he's cutting through, which is not a knife. It's a nail point, which he had a very strong objection to. So he would want it to have it slightly rounded here. If anybody is into fancy cooking with Japanese knives very much have this basic shape. Many of them have this rounded front tip. If you ever look and see it in expensive Japanese knife sets, many of their knives have this rounded front. Many people extend Avram sending the B'nai Keturah to Eretz Mizrach, as to the Far East, and they became the whatever is out there in the Far East, whichever nation you want to call them. This end we leave exposed just in order to get the sharpening all the way to the edge. If you have a regular knife that has an edge coming, that has the handle coming to the edge, you're never going to get the last part of the knife sharp and smooth as the rest. A French knife has an exposed edge and the handle is relieved off. That gives you that ability to sharpen till the end. A French knife has that. Some slicers have that. But a standard knife wouldn't have this relief, this separation, where you would be able to get to the end. So this is the shape all of our knives are in. Whether it's an 18-inch for beef, whether it's a 5 or a 4-inch for chickens, it's all the same shape proportionately made. Handles would be smaller, thinner, blades would be thinner or thicker, all different. But the shape, we always keep the same shape. A person, when he starts sharpening his knife, is always going to make his identifying marks on the blade. This fellow sharpened over here is noticeably narrower than the rest of the blade, because your strength is more here, closer to your hand, than it is out over here. Your strength over here is much more diminished than that you have over here. The balance is different. Here you have your strength. There are many shochtim that'll start to cut toward them for many reasons, but one is because here you have the most strong. The strength is here. in his sharpening, because the strength is there, it sharpens faster, and he gets this, the curvature here. That's basically what there is in the Shechita world today, of the chalofim, of the process. We started off, we used to make the chalofim from butcher knives, from roast beef slicers, and we would re-grind them and reshape them a little bit. But we got into different steels and different stuff, and we're moving on with that.
That knife that you were talking about, you can't make the gimme, is that something you use for sheet metal, or is it?
I don't use it because it's not stainless.
It'll rust.
Blood is very corrosive. The waters in most slaughterhouses are very highly treated with chlorine. So again, it eats away at the steel. So I keep it just for the demonstration of it.
What
it's a kosher knife.
There is no, so it's kosher. There's no problem with using it. But there is no stainless that you can make that hard.
Yeah, there is.
So why aren't they?
Why aren't they done? There's a process that's called friction. You listening to this one? This one, listen to. There's a process called friction forging. We assume forging is that old picture of a blacksmith with an anvil, with a fire, putting a piece of steel in the fire, getting it hot, banging it with the hammer, repeating the process, and creating whatever shape knife he wants. They invented this process beginning of World War II called friction forging. Friction forging takes a very hard, we'll call it a stylus, a probe on top, and because of the friction, like when we were kids in school, you made an Indian burn on somebody, that friction causes the metal, they call it the plasticize. Doesn't completely melt it, it plasticizes it. It turns a not stainless steel into a stainless. It gets tremendously hard. Very expensive piece of material. They don't make them as big as we would need for a shechita knife, but they go up to a really high hardness.
Can you still sharpen it?
Who? How?
Not with a stone.
There's a very important word. I don't know if you ever heard the word. The word is called maspik. The word is called adequate. There's enough. It's enough. I have my knives. I can use them. 200 plus animals just with a finishing stone. It's enough. It's enough. I don't have to go into the radical areas. I have radical steel that's 62, 65 on the Rockwells. There's no pleasure using them. It doesn't work. It doesn't give you a give and take. There's no purpose to it. It's an overkill. Some guys like it. Some guys want it, but totally unnecessary. Totally unnecessary. There's a word maspik. It's enough. You got enough. It works. It does the job, and it's there. We have good chalofim today. Thank God. Very interesting halacha.
We have different sets of knives for chicken versus cow.
Size-wise. Short, long, thicker, heavier, longer.
The sharpness is the same. The sharpness is the same.
The sharpness is the same.
The steel is the same also?
I use the same steel. I have different steels, but I have the same steel available in chicken size, in veal size, in beef size. In all the different grades. Steel is good steel. Today we have very good steel. There is available very good steel today. Yeah, China happens to have, when they give you what they say they're going to give you, they happen to have very good steel today. They do have good steel. The problem is that their quality control it is non-existent. You can get good this week and nothing next week. There's no communication with them. It's very difficult to deal with them. That's the problem. And the volume. All these places, when you're going to a knife company, you need to buy volume. I was able to buy the shields for a mile at $1 a piece. Not as disposables, but $1 a piece, but I had to buy 3,000 pieces. How long would I take to get rid of 3,000 pieces? Even the $5 a piece, it takes a long time. With laser cutting, with CNC machining, all these things make the precision much more, make the speed much more quickly done, but you have to buy the volume. Custom knife makers, we do individuals, 1, 2, 5, and we're able to keep going that way. The barbershop industry, who created these knives, these halachim, doesn't exist anymore. All the barbershops now use disposable razors. So these are hard to find. So the stones to sharpen them don't exist. We used to piggyback on them for stones. We lost that association. So we drive different stones. But it's a constantly changing mood of getting what we need. And today the shechita has changed. There used to be local shechitas. There were many more shechitas, each one doing a little bit. Today they're massive. Hastings shechs 500-600 animals a day. Iowa shechs 300-400 animals a day. You know, so you don't need that many people. You don't need that many knives.
You have to attend like conferences every so often as technology changes.
I wish there were conferences. I attend knife shows. I read the trade magazines. I read articles. I write articles in the trade magazines just to keep abreast of what the newest items are. I do. And there are radical people with different ideas. There's a fellow called David Boy. He has a radical idea against the whole knife industry, the whole knife making industry. I bought his material and I used it. And I can't say he's wrong. I have a lot of respect for him.
So in terms of kashrus, it's just the finished product, doesn't matter how it gets there.
How many times a day do you have to sharpen the knife?
I don't have to sharpen it. I keep it touched up. 3-4 swipes on the stone. Just touched up, not sharpened. Sharpened when you have to, when we talk about sharpening, is you're using a stone that's going to ruin the edge, recreate the edge, have a bedika from somebody else to make sure the edge is smooth, and that creates a chazaka, a statement that this knife is ready for shechita. But we touch up.
How many times do you have to touch up?
I usually touch up every 5-6 animals because that way it stays where it belongs, and I can go 200 straight through without having to worry about it. I don't expect problems.
Doing the whole new edge is a big process.
What?
How long does it take to do the whole new edge?
7 minutes, 10 minutes.
No, a touch up.
A touch up?
A full new
10 minutes. 7-10 minutes, that's it.
How many chickens on a challah?
There's a fellow who I don't even know what the right word is. I call him a voodoo artist. But I used his knife for 6 months without touching it to a stone, except just that touch up between the shechitas. 6 months.
On chickens.
6 months, 4 days a week, five and a half hours a day, chickens.
Well, how many chickens an hour?
let's really exaggerate, 600. 600 an hour times 5 hours is 3,000 times 4 days. Well, did you finish eating yet? You think I ate the potato kegel? Ah, okay, I understand. L'chaim. So yeah, 6 months, I used that knife. Just flies.
How can you check the knife?
With your fingernail.
How often?
Depending where you are.
Based on the
what? Where I work now, I check the knife after every second animal. Why? Because there's a halacha that says that when you're under a lachatz, like Yom Kippur, like Kaparis time chickens, it's acceptable, it's preferred to check the knife more seldom, but properly, than quickly, not properly. And you check it at least while that person who brought this bunch of chickens is there, so when he walks away, he has a definitive answer, the chickens are usable or not. That's how it's brought in halacha. When I'm shechting every second animal, I check the sakin. If I lose two animals. Okay, I don't lose that often. If I win, the system runs. It moves the way it's supposed to. Other people check after every animal. Oh, animal. Birds in a factory situation, we've gotten to institute the idea that there's a light warning system, and the light blinks every 3, 5, 6 minutes, depending on the factory. The shechet stops, washes the knife, and checks it. If there's a problem, he loses that whole string of birds, whatever amount of minutes it was.
Are they separated? How do they know which ones?
Well, his birds. Oh. So some shechita houses years ago used to use, whatever reasons they were able to use halachically, that they just took off randomly the amount of birds he would have been shechting, not specifically noting his birds. Okay. Other places took off all the birds. If there were 5 shechtim working, that whole line of 3 to 5 minutes went out. All the birds went out. KJ, about 3 years ago, introduced individual lines for each shaykhid. So each shaykhid has his direct line, and we know exactly which birds were his birds that he shechted. And that keeps everything much more segregated, clean, and knowledgeable.
I also think that system knowing when was the cut, like from what minute the...
Yeah. That we all can tell. We used to have numbers on the shackles. So when you, after you check your knife, you look up what's the new number that you're starting with. But if they're all combined, you're still combining the work of 4 or 5 guys. So to avoid that, KJ has them all individualized. That's what they did. On the Gaza Shechitas, many factories have 2 Baidkim. One a dry Baidik, one a wet Baidik. When you go on the stone, even a fine stone, you'll dry the knife and it goes to the dry Baidik. Bein Shechita l'Shechita, it goes to the wet Baidik.
What's the difference?
Between wet and dry?
Yeah.
The halacha reads that even though we know your hagosher is better and more delicate when it's dry, since the animal's neck is wet, you don't have to have a sakin that's any smoother than what the behemoth would feel. So the behemoth's neck is wet, you're able to use a wet bedika. And that parallels to what the behemoth will be feeling.
The behemoth's neck is always wet?
It's bloody.
Oh, once you cut it?
Even without you cutting it, but there's blood flowing through the meat.
That's it.
It's wet. It's wet.
What's ruining the knife? Hitting the bone or
usage?
You're cutting just regular meat will ruin the...
You ever go to a butcher store? They're always realigning the edge on the steel because it's thin. In order to get an edge, it's thin. It's going to wave. It's going to bend. It's going to twist. The steel puts it back in line. The same thing what these fine stones do. They put the knife back in line, and if it's in line, it'll last much longer. It doesn't get ruined.
So the sheikh can put the knives at night. Put it in an alignment case?
No, no, we don't have to realign it. We put them in a case, we wrap them in paper towel, you put them in a case to put them away. You put them away. You dry them first, because water and steel and leather, water, steel, and paper don't mix that well. So you want to make sure that they're very dry before you put them away. If you have a locker, we used to have lockers that you could line them up without putting them in any case. They wouldn't be touching anything.
Big one, I've time in the case.
No. Stainless steel I send out for the heat treat. It has to be properly timed, temperatured, and it doesn't pay for me the amount that I do to have to do it in house. It pays for me to send them out.
You grind it beforehand, the shape, or afterwards?
Most of my knives I grind afterwards. I send them out to a special machine. It's called the paper knife grinder. There's a magnetic bed that looks like this, that's fully magnetized, that's up to 10 feet long, that tilts like this. There's an overhead stone that comes down with a water oil emulsion feed, and that grinds the edge, and the fellow, I tell him how big of an edge, how far back, how thick of a back I want it, and he does that grinding for me.
And the heat treat is done.
Usually I do the heat treat first. Sometimes I do I grind soft steel, which is much easier to grind than the hard steel.
Still that you use for your knives, you do a mixture of steels or
I have four, five, six different steels that I buy that I use.
You mix them into one knife?
No. The only one who made his own mixture was a fellow by the name of Rabbi Witkin. He was a shaykhet, he was a rav, he was nifter about 72, 75. He designed his own recipe. He decided his own recipe, and he had to buy the whole amount of metal that was made in that recipe, 3,000 pounds. His son is still using that metal. That's how much 3,000 pounds of metal will last from 72, 75 when he was nifter, and he didn't do it the day before he went. That's how long the steel, that's how much you, in a knife this size, you're using less than a pound of steel. Wow. None of us sell that many knives a year. None of us sell that many.
So you stick to one steel?
I stick to four or five different steels.
No, I'm saying, but you don't sandwich or anything like that.
No, sandwich steel has to be made a different way. There's two different types of steels. One is called Sanmai, M-A-I, which is a Japanese type of a sandwich steel, where there's a center core of very hard steel that's not stainless, outside two layers of softer material that is stainless. That type of material, you have to make sure your edge is in the center, because that's how the sandwich goes. This material is solid all the way through the same material. I decide where I want the edge. If I'm a lefty, I could put the edge down this side. I could put the edge down this side. I could put the edge in the middle. I decide where the edge goes. In a sandwich steel, you have to keep the sandwich basically balanced.
Isn't that what they use for like samurai swords and stuff?
No. Samurai swords we use, not sanmai. It's called pattern welded steel. It's folded and welded again. The design in the steel comes from the fact that it's folded and reheated.
Confused between sandwich and the folded.
Right, that's again a more homogeneous because it's this, all the layers repeat themselves, and
it's the same steel.
What?
The same steel.
It's not the same steel. No. They make it to make different design. They'll use a high carbon and a low carbon, a brighter steel and a dull steel, in order to show the contrast in colors. That they also have what's called wood steel. That's the original Damascus. The original Damascus steel was Wootz, W-O-O-T-Z, Wootz steel. It was not the patterns that we have now. It was just one glob, and it had a snowflake design in it. That was the wood steel. I never wore one out yet. I never wore one out.
So the market's that's not what, that big.
That's how Shaitan sheets once their knives.
They last. Look at this one. This one was still being used. I mean, I'd be embarrassed to use it. A guy was using it. I'm not joking with you. This guy was using it. I had to pay money to get it out of his hands. This a guy was using on the floor. And the Rabbanim allowed it, and the Badik Sakinim allowed it, and he thought it was the best thing that he ever had in his life.
How'd you get it off?
Paid him heavy money.
Now, when the knife gets worn down, like this, it's more like the other.
You're asking the Shaykhid, you're asking yourself. He didn't think it was any problem. He was using it. The problem is, we have a halacha that we don't want a knife that looks like this. We want it to look like this, where this is relieved and you can get to the bottom of the edge. Correct, very much correct. This, what the fellow probably did, was after he sharpened it to as best he could to the base, he would wrap it, I assume. I can't tell, I don't know. I never met the man. But the guy who was using it, this was being used when I got it. It was not, no, the day he put it away, this was what it looked like. The day before he put it away, he was using it. This is what he used. And he thought it was the greatest thing that ever happened. I paid him, he's right. But for such a session, isn't it worthwhile to bring a knife like this? Isn't it something to see?
When you had that on the other side.
Isn't it worthwhile to see?
You can't buy
a miller,
right?
You can't. I make them. There's no big shakes. I make them. Today you can make it, you can remake most anybody's knife.
I don't have a miller knife. I have a Rebbe Yerman knife.
Here's a miller's knife. If you want, here's one. Also a heavy duty, that's what people used to do. They used to use them up till after they were worthless. After they were worthless, they kept using them. I don't understand the seichel of it, but that's what people do.
What's the biggest knife company known, I guess, that's around now?
But for knives or for halof?
No, regular knives.
Biggest knife company?
Yeah, like the most known, best quality knives.
Most known, best quality doesn't always mean the same thing. you have American knives that are very, very competitive.
I know a Bowie.
Wilson Goodnow. Wilson Goodnow. Up in Massachusetts. But not Wilson Goodnow. I forgot the first name, but something Goodnow. I bought knives from them. Very, very good knives. Dexter is a good knife.
And no one has anything for Shkita?
No. I've taken knives and reshaped them to make them into Shkita knives. But our heat treat is for hardness and for smoothness. Their heat treat is for softness. Because they understand that if a knife is soft, it'll sharpen faster, it'll be replaced sooner.